Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show on Channel Radio 2 with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping very well and I've had a great weekend. We've got a great show ahead of us. This morning we're going to have a quick chat about crash dieting, as it is that time of year, New Year's resolutions and all that. People want to get fitter and they want to lose weight, which I commend. But there's lots of ways that you can do damage to your health long term, and one of them is crash dieting. So we're going to talk about crash dieting, and we're also going to have a chat about adrenal fatigue. Now, last week we spoke about the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, and today we're going to talk about ways to combat and potentially and hopefully turn around adrenal fatigue and to make you feel better. We also have a special guest on this morning, Miranda Chapman. Miranda is going to talk to us about this year's Wellbeing Symposium, what this symposium is, how it can benefit you, or potentially how it could benefit your staff and your business. So before we start, if you'd like to tweet in, the show's Twitter page is at Health Radio Show, and we've had a few tweets in this morning, and I will give some shout-outs in about 10-15 minutes. So at Health Radio Show, tweet in, say hi, ask a question. If you've got an event you'd like me to mention, then please feel free and I will give you a shout out. Or you can find the show's Facebook page. If you search Health Radio Show, you'll be able to be kept up to date with forthcoming shows and guests and information about the show and all that sort of stuff. If you'd like to contact me, my webpage is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can always drop me a line away from social media if there's something you'd like to discuss with me in private. So a bit of housekeeping before we start. The purpose of the show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you as to ways to improve your own health with simple tips and advice. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaging in providing medical advice. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience, and often my opinion. The content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. And if you have any concerns about your general health, please contact your suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in most cases, your first port of call can be your pharmacist, and not necessarily your doctor. I specifically disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So now we've got that out of the way. Let's have a chat about crash dieting. Crash dieting. What is crash dieting? So crash dieting is often a restrictive meal plan that's really unsustainable in the long term. It often means cutting calories down to sometimes 1,000 or even below 1,000, even as low as 500 calories per day on a regular basis. And this can include meal replacements, it can include juice cleansings, detoxes, all these sorts of things that aren't necessarily sustainable but can actually cause a lot of long-term damage to your health. Now, as I mentioned, it's that time of year. People come into the new year. They like to try to set their resolutions to get healthier, to lose weight. And I'm all for that. We live in a very sedentary society and we have an increasing obesity crisis and diabetes crisis. So anything that people can do to make themselves feel healthier and lose weight, that's great. But there are some ways that you can do more damage long term, and crash dieting is one of them. So these are some of the reasons why you shouldn't crash diet. When you crash diet, you'll lose weight quickly. And lots of people on social media boast about their weight loss. And sometimes people can boast about losing 5 or 10 pounds in a week, which is crazy. Because to lose weight safely, you just can't lose that much weight that quickly. A lot of the weight that will be lost will be hydration. It'll be water. Because your body will hold on to 4 grams of water for every 1 gram of carbohydrates that you consume. So at any time, you could be holding around 20 pounds of water in your system. And as soon as you cut your calories and cut your carbs, then your body starts to lose water. And that's how you lose weight quickly when you first start. Now, that dehydration will cause other issues. Lack of hydration in the body will affect your metabolism, amongst other things. And crash dieting, because you're losing, you're not eating as much, will lead to long-term damage, and reducing your hydration is not a good thing. Crash dieting, it slows down your metabolism. When you cut your calories, your body goes into survival mode. So it slows down your metabolic rate. You may still lose weight, and as I mentioned, some of that will be water. But when you deprive your body of adequate nutrition, your metabolism slows right down. And then your body starts to use muscle and fat for fuel. Now, you might argue, well, actually, that's quite good. That's the idea of losing weight. But when you start losing muscle, your metabolic rate then slows even more. And it will try to preserve the fat, but it will start losing muscle. And if you start losing muscle and your metabolic rate diminishes, then you will start getting fatigued, you'll start getting more tired. And if you take it to the extremes, your body will then, in an attempt to survive on a low-calorie diet, it will start to shut down some vital metabolic and biological processes. And as you can imagine, that's not too good. Crash dieting decreases insulin sensitivity. Now, just before Christmas, I did discuss the subject of type 2 diabetes and the growth of type 2 diabetes in this country over the last 20 years. And when you yo-yo diet, when you crash diet, it decreases your insulin sensitivity. Now, if you do that sustainably, you can become type 2 diabetic. So type 2 diabetes is either when your pancreas just isn't producing the insulin that it should do, it's still producing insulin, but not at the level it needs to, or it's producing it at a good level, but your body has become desensitized to it. And crash dieting can lead to that desensitization of insulin. Crash dieting results in hormonal imbalances. So there's two really important hormones in your body. One's ghrelin and the other one's leptin. And these are responsible for managing your hunger. When you crash diet, you have an imbalance in ghrelin and leptin. And these can make you, these can give you cravings for foods that perhaps you wouldn't normally eat, or they can force you to binge on the foods because you feel hungry all the time. So do bear in mind that if you do crash diet and you have this hormonal imbalance, when you go back to eating normal food, that hormonal imbalance can still stay with you. And then you can find that your hunger is even greater than ever. Crash dieting can affect your mood. Well, that's quite an obvious one. I know lots of people that do crash diet or they fad diet, and they do feel not too good, and they feel tired, and they feel grumpy. Is it really worth it? Possibly not. Crash dieting also affects your immune system. If you do not give your body the right amount of nutrients and you have low calories, then you can affect your immune system, which in turn can obviously lead you vulnerable to illnesses. So in the attempts to lose some weight, you can actually make yourself more sick. So how do you diet properly? Now, I don't like to use the D word, because to be honest with you, I don't agree with dieting, because by the sheer definition of dieting, it means that it's a plan and it has an end. What you should really do is you should look to change your lifestyle. You should look to make better food choices. You should look to increase exercise. You should look to control portion size. Most importantly, you should look to make it sustainable. if it's sustainable, if it becomes a way of life, if you change your habits, rather than just following a program for a set period until you get to your goal and then you go back to your old ways, if it becomes habit, then you're more likely to stick with it and it's more likely to be sustainable. So some of the things you can do, so talk to a nutritionist, talk to me, talk to other nutritionists that are available, and we can come up with a food plan that works for you. If you're happy with what you're eating, maybe cut down on portion size. Cutting out junk food is also quite good, and cutting out sugars. Stop adding sugars to your food and your drinks, and read food labels and look out for sugars that are added to your food without your knowledge. And to lose weight safely, you'd be looking at losing about 1 or 2 pounds a week. Those are governmental guidelines. Obviously, it depends on the individual and their metabolism and their initial starting size. But generally, 1 or 2 pounds of fat loss per week, not just weight loss, but fat loss, is the goal. And one of the ways you can identify a fad diet is to ask yourself, can you see yourself doing 80% of the diet in 5 years' time? Or if one of your children or one of your parents were to follow the plan that you are about to follow, would you be happy about it? Something to think about there. So if you'd like some advice on crash dieting or the ways to avoid crash dieting and how to lose weight sustainably and safely, you can always contact me through my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So we're going to take a trip back to 1983 today. Got a few songs lined up for you. And the first one, I can't believe this is 35 years ago. How scary is that? The first song is one to wake you up this morning, to get you boogieing, to get you going, to get the heart rate pumping. So if you feel like having a bit of a dance around the office or a dance around your bedroom, be my guest and enjoy Katrina and the Waves.
I just can't wait till the day when you knock on my door. Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva from iNutrition. I hope you are all keeping well. So today we have a special guest on who will be on around 11:30, Miranda Chapman, who will be discussing the Wellbeing Symposium that's happening in Ashford in February. So looking forward to learning more about that. And I had a few tweets in, and I'm going to mention a good friend of mine called Dee Stringer. Now, Dee works for Amethyst Therapies. It's her own business. And she's also a rep for the British Lymphedema Society. And so Dee helps with that condition, and she helps with people to cope with the with lymphedema. And she's also a supporter of the London Marathon this year. So she'll be providing massages to the participants at the marathon. So great to support the marathon. Well done, Dee. And if you'd like to contact Dee on Twitter, her Twitter handle is at Dee, at DStringer1, the number one, on Twitter. So feel free to contact Dee if she can be of help to you. The show page is on Twitter at Health Radio Show. So please do tweet in, say hi. I'll give you a shout out if you've got any events you'd like to announce or like me to announce. And you can find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Radio Show. And you can always contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So last week we spoke about adrenal fatigue, and adrenal fatigue came up because of a couple of Facebook posts that I put out over Christmas. And people said, oh, they're feeling tired. And there were some symptoms that I could relate to. So I thought we would discuss adrenal fatigue in more detail, which we did last week. So please feel free to listen to last week's show via my website on the media page. And we discussed some of the symptoms. So things like feeling tired, feeling exhausted every day, having difficulty getting up in the morning, having higher levels of energy in the evening, maybe insomnia, maybe waking up in the middle of the night, dependence on caffeine, which is a big sign, maybe a weakened immune system if you get sick a lot, catch colds, or if you have an inability to handle stress. So individually, obviously, these aren't necessarily symptoms of adrenal fatigue, but together, it might be worth having a chat to your pharmacist or your doctor if you can identify with any of those symptoms. But today I'm going to talk about ways that you can actually repair your adrenal glands. Because like most functions of the body, if you can help them to recover, then you will be able to benefit from improved health. So some of the ways that you can improve your help your adrenal glands to recover are things like improving your diet. So if you suffer from adrenal fatigue, it could be that your diet is depleted in nutrients because of the stress that your body is under. So if you improve your diet, it can actually help things like malnutrition. It can help you to improve your mental health. And cutting down things like sugar and salt and saturated fats. Those three in particular have been associated with high levels of adrenal fatigue. And improving your consumption of things like the B group vitamins, so B12 in particular and also B6, and zinc and magnesium. Eat healthy fats, so unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats, fats from fish or chia seeds. Chia seeds are really good. Omega-3 fats, really good for you. And also a bit of seafood can help decrease the risk of stress-related disorders and mental problems as well. Protein, having more protein in your diet. Lots of people I meet are actually quite deficient in protein. And the governmental guidelines suggest that we should eat around 0.8 of a gram per kilogram of body weight of protein. So if you weigh 100 kilos, then 80 grams a day. And if you keep a food diary, you'll really be surprised at how low your protein intake can be. But look for good sources of protein. So organic meat, eggs, organ meats are good. Obviously, do your own research. Low glycemic index foods. So glycemic index is a measure of how quickly, carbohydrate raises your blood sugar levels. So go for low glycemic index foods and things like beans and lentils and whole grains. They're very good. And some fruits as well. Berries and green apples have a low glycemic index. Healthy fats we've mentioned. So fish oil-based fats, so salmon and mackerel and sardines, they're very good. Avocados are good. Olive oil is good. Coconut oil, nuts and seeds, all good sources of good fats. But fats come with calories, 9 calories per gram. So if you're on a weight management program, then be careful about your calorie intake. And hydration, keep your water levels up, because actually the right amount of water can help aid digestion, and it can help your kidneys to flush out toxins from the body. It's also very good at helping your digestive system as well. So look to increase your water intake. So eat at the right time. So keeping your blood sugar levels is really important in the maintenance of your energy levels and also your ability to manage stress. So keep your blood sugar levels steady by eating small regular meals that have a low glycemic index, and also snacks to combat the dip in cortisol can be quite good mid-afternoon. Doing meditation's quite good, so mind and body exercises, good at reducing stress levels, good at stimulating cortisol if your cortisol levels are low, and also good at reducing cortisol if your cortisol levels, your stress hormone levels, are high. Take supplements. Now, obviously, supplements, they are of varying quality, and not all supplements are the same. And I tend to advise people, if you need to supplement, then please take the best quality supplements that you can get your hands on or that you can afford. Because the way our food is grown and is stored and it's processed, and also the way it's cooked, destroys a lot of its original nutritional value. So many people do need to supplement, even if they have a reasonably healthy diet, because of the way our food is managed these days. We mentioned B vitamins. B12 is important. B12 has been called the energy vitamin. And actually, it's really important for nerve function, for mood regulation, and also the production of red blood cells. But B6 is also important as well, as B6 can also raise your mood and give you increased mental alertness. Magnesium. Lots of people are deficient in magnesium. And I did mention magnesium a few shows ago. Magnesium is required for over 300 functions in the body. And actually, magnesium can help you regulate the production of cortisol and can stop excess cortisol from being created. It's also good for healthy sleep, for helping your muscles to relax. Magnesium is great for reducing and maintaining blood pressure. It's good for your heart rhythm. It also promotes calcium absorption. If you take calcium supplements, you should also take vitamin D and magnesium too, and it can help regulate blood sugar levels. Herbs, adaptogenic herbs. Adaptogenic herbs are herbs that help you to adapt to stressful situations. There's a few really good adaptogenic herbs that can help you to manage adrenal fatigue. The first is a herb called ashwagandha. Now, ashwagandha is also known as Indian ginseng. And ashwagandha can help you to regulate your cortisol levels. And it's also a really good anti-inflammatory, and it can boost your immune system. Rhodiola. Rhodiola is a natural energy booster, and it can fight the damaging effects of stress caused by free radicals. It also improves brain function and memory function as well, and can also help your stamina. And the other one is licorice root. Licorice root supports your adrenal glands, which can help you to manage stress better and can combat adrenal fatigue. Get better sleep. So look at sleep quality as well as sleep quantity. Try to get into the habit of going to bed at the proper time, at 10, 11 o'clock, and getting up at the same time every day. So don't be tempted to get up at 6 during the week and 10 at a weekend, because it really does mess up your sleep patterns. Try to get the same amount of sleep every night and go to bed and wake up at the same time. And de-stress before you go to bed. So, you know, do a bit of meditation, maybe a bit of yoga. Obviously, avoid caffeine and try to avoid blue light devices. So try to avoid your phone, your tablet, your computer, your TV, because they would affect your sleep patterns as well. Balance your blood sugars. So again, we come back to sugar consumption. Try to avoid simple sugars, added sugars. Try to avoid adding sugar to your food and to your drink, because actually When your sugar levels increase and when they decrease, it really does affect your stress hormone levels as well. And they are very sensitive to each other, and they do interact with each other a lot. So where do you go from here? So if you can identify with some of the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, then you can maybe take on board some of the ways that you can improve your adrenal fatigue levels and maybe stop feeling so tired, maybe stop feeling so stressed out. If it's a long-term thing, if you want to go and talk to your healthcare professional, then please feel free to do so. But do bear in mind that adrenal fatigue tends to come on over quite a long period of time. So don't expect quick results. Don't expect suddenly to feel better overnight. If you take on board some of the methods that I've mentioned to improve adrenal fatigue, then give it some time to work, because you know it's taken you months, perhaps years, to get to where you are. It's not going to turn around in days. So hopefully there's some information there that's of use to you. And if you, as I say, if you feel like you are suffering from adrenal fatigue, maybe revisit the show from last week to look at or listen to the symptoms in more detail. And then perhaps take on board some of the comments I've made, some of the ways that you might be able to manage your lifestyle and your diet to try to improve your symptoms and the way that you feel. So continuing the theme of 1983, it's time for our next song, a classic from 35 years ago. This one should get you dancing, hopefully. If not physically, then in your head. I hope you enjoy it. It's Flashdance by Irene Cara.
Nothing but a slow glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried silent tears full of pride in a world we
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Channel Radio. If you'd like to tweet into the show, the Twitter page, the Twitter handle is at Health Radio Show. So tweet in, say hi, ask for a shout out, ask a question. It'd be great to hear from you. Or you can find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Radio Show. So now it's time for our special guest interview, and I'm pleased to welcome Miranda Chapman. Hi, Miranda.
Morning, Neil.
It's good to see you here this morning. And Miranda is Managing Director of Pillory Barn. And Pillory Barn is a creative agency based in Maidstone in Kent. And in 2012, Pillory Barn teamed up with workplace wellbeing experts called Wellbeing People, and they launched the Wellbeing Symposium. And the Wellbeing Symposium is an event that aims to make health and wellbeing everyone's business. So this can be on a personal level, or it can be ways to help you to improve the health of your staff. And the event is being held at the Ashwood International Hotel this year on the 21st of February. And it is the only event of its kind where you can learn about wellbeing in the workplace, wellbeing in the community, and also wellbeing on a personal level, all under one roof and on one day. So we're going to find out more about the symposium, what it is, where it can help you individually, and also if you're an employer, where it might be able to help you improve health in the workplace. So Miranda, great to see you this morning. I know you've travelled across Kent to get here, so it's good to see you. So tell me about the Wellbeing Symposium. In a nutshell, what is it?
Well, first of all, Neil, thank you for inviting the Wellbeing Symposium to your show. It's really great to be given the opportunity to talk about it, actually. The Wellbeing Symposium is actually, our aspiration has always been for it to be a place where you can, anybody, doesn't matter who you are, can take the time out to think about health and wellbeing broadly, talk to other people about health and wellbeing, exchange ideas about health and wellbeing, and look perhaps to see how, whether you're a business or whether you are an individual, perhaps how you can make wellbeing easier to achieve. I think that's really one of the sort of the core goals for our event.
Excellent, and that's good to hear, because there's lots of misinformation out there. I've worked in the health industry for quite a few years now, and it's quite scary, some of the media reports and some of the things that the newspapers come out with, and it's actually quite refreshing to hear someone who's able to impart useful and practical and sensible information as well. And I do think health in the workplace really is the thing of the moment, and lots of employers want to invest and improve the health of their staff. Some see it as an investment, some see it as a cost. Ultimately, those that want to improve health in the workplace don't know where to look.
I think the thing that we would all broadly agree with is that we live in very challenging times. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fact. We are doing more in less time. I think, whether you're an employer in the private sector, whether you're a public sector business, whether you're a charity, the goals that we're trying to achieve every day are steep.
Yeah.
And we do that with people. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I completely agree with you. I think wellbeing in the workplace has probably shifted up the agenda of most business people that I talk to. People that perhaps 3-4 years ago, it probably would have been a little bit of a laugh, a little bit of a really, but now it's actually key to the success of their business, because at the end of the day, we are only successful because of the people that we have in our businesses.
Absolutely right. And it's when companies actually look at things like sickness time and sickness downtime and sickness absence, and they realise actually these people are still getting paid, their members of staff are getting paid. So purely on a financial level, it makes sense to invest in your staff, but also it's a really, it's a responsible thing to do. It's one of the things that can help increase staff retention, Because if you're a responsible employer and you're looking after the well-being of your staff, then you're seen to care about them. So it creates a nice environment. So it can actually cut down on recruitment costs as well. And I think it's when an employer sees it as an investment, it becomes really, really powerful. So with the symposium this year, we mentioned it's on the 21st of February at the Ashford International Hotel. So during the symposium, what will people learn? What are the big topics for the day?
Probably the best way to describe it is with the speakers that we have. We've got a fantastic lineup. Mm-hmm. And just picking up on the cost of sickness in the workplace. I mean that isn't everything to do with health and wellbeing. That's just one area, but yep. It is an important area.
Yes.
And we're delighted actually that we have Lord Richard Layard, who is well known in certain circles as the happiness economics guru. He gives a very empowering, inspiring. It's almost like a TED talk. So he does that within a short period of time. It's quick paced, it's full of amazing content. And at the end of it, you cannot fail but to walk away and think, actually, just perhaps if I was 10% happier, mm-hmm. I might be more effective, my staff might be more effective. And it's just thinking about ways to take something that's quite soft and fluffy, like happiness. Albeit the UK government, I think, has a happiness indicator mm-hmm. I think that they've invested in over the years. Mm-hmm. So talk to some people like Richard Layard. We hope that they're going to really make people excited about just thinking about health and wellbeing from a completely different perspective. Okay. We've then got very practical sessions. So we're delighted we've got Dr. Lawrence Gant. And he's actually the club doctor for Tottenham Hotspur and is a consultant in sport and exercise medicine at Kim's Hospital. So Lawrence is going to come along and talk about sort of musculoskeletal facets of being a well person. You know, mm-hmm. I'm doing it now. I'm sitting over this and I'm slouching and I should be sitting.
I think we all do it, actually. I think if we looked at our posture, for most people, it leaves quite a lot to be desired.
Absolutely. Mm. And we're really excited to have Lawrence coming along. The event is in Ashford because we're trying to move the event around the county so that we can spread the word. And actually, importantly for Kent, we've always seen this as a national event. It just so happens that we're talking about health and wellbeing UK-wide, but in the county of Kent. So we took it to Ashford, and we're very lucky that we have the support of Ashford Borough Council this year.
Okay.
Quite unusual for a local authority to perhaps invest in an event like that, the Wellbeing Symposium. But actually, they're a very forward-thinking borough, so we're going to have quite a few of their people on hand, talking about particularly the One You campaign, which mm-hmm. is the national campaign that is being pursued by UK government. And we, on top of that, we'll also have lots of interactive assets. So we've got, through Wellbeing People, the kiosks where people can test their health. Mm-hmm. So it sort of takes your weight, your height, measures your, calculates your BMI. And the smoothie bikes that people may have seen, and the massage beds, and cholesterol testing. So that's the really interactive part. Lots more besides those things, but that gives you a bit of an overview of what people might be able to experience on the day.
Fantastic. And there is actually a one-year shop, isn't there,
in Ashford?
Which is
there is, yeah. I think they really are sort of forward. They're on the front foot in Ashford.
And I'm a great fan of preventative measures rather than dealing with the problem once it happens. And you mentioned about cholesterol, things like high blood sugars, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. They don't often have symptoms until you have symptoms, and by the time you have symptoms, you're normally in trouble. So for some people, it is often the first check they've had for a long time. And prevention is obviously better than cure. What other guests have you got coming along? So you mentioned Lord Layard and also Dr. Gant. Who else is coming along?
So possibly quite exciting is Steve Brown. Uh-huh. He's our Paralympian. Steve's actually a local Kent lad. He went to school in Sittingbourne. And in his sort of 20s, mid-20s, he had a really unfortunate accident. He fell off a balcony whilst on holiday. In very innocent circumstances, it was an absolute sort of, it was a physical accident. Mm-hmm. And was totally paralysed. Steve obviously went through, the battles that you would expect anybody who's become paralysed from being able-bodied to go through, and has actually turned his life into something quite inspirational. So he actually played rugby for the Olympic Paralympian team.
Wow.
He now is probably more well-known for his work on BBC. So he's a presenter on the BBC Nature programme. Mm-hmm. And gives a very, very good talk about how he has adapted his life and how well-being is a very, very important factor in his life today. So, although he lives his life from a wheelchair, being fit and able mentally and physically, absolutely key for him. So he's going to come and share that story with us.
And actually, mental health is very important, isn't it? We talk about stress levels in the workplace, and we talk about people being healthy, and people often associate health with how they look, how much they weigh, whether they're overweight or not. But actually, mental health is a very important part of health in the workplace. And sadly, it's one of the areas that's often overlooked because it's not visible always. But it's good that mental health is part of the agenda.
I'm really glad you've raised that. I think mental health, and I know from the people that I talk to in my sort of daily business life, I don't think there's a business out there that doesn't have a member of their team that has some type of challenge around good mental health. Mm-hmm. It can be very simple. It can be around trying to fit too much into a day and having huge personal responsibilities alongside having to work. We all have to work. It could be something more fundamental. It could be, most mental illness is down to chemical imbalances of some sort. So it could be a diagnosed mental illness that perhaps they don't feel free to talk about in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But I think more businesses are becoming, they understand. Well, I think that the Royals have done a great job, haven't they, raising the profile of mental health. It's now not such a taboo subject. But we do have more work to do on it, I think. And again, the Wellbeing Symposium puts that out on the table, fair and square. We want people to talk about it. We have a question time at the end of the day. We haven't announced our full question time panel yet. We're in the process of doing that. So we'll keep you up to date with who's finally going to be on the QT panel. But again, many of the questions from our audience do come from or they're about mental health in the workplace and how to manage it.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me about Dr. McCune. And also about Christine Hancock, who I also think are coming along as guests, aren't they, speakers?
Dr. Sandra McCune, this is quite fascinating. So she works for Mars Pet Care. And you would not correlate pets or pet care with the Wellbeing Symposium, perhaps naturally.
No.
Mars have some really great projects out there at the moment. So they have pet-friendly towns. Okay. And it's about the link between pets and people. And Sandra is a specialist in studying the interactions between pets and people. Again, it's probably, most people have probably read about it, that you can go into hospitals nowadays and see well-being dogs going in to see really poorly people. Just the stroking and the talking to the pets, it's proven that there are really great well-being benefits, whether that's a lowering of blood pressure, whether that's just a general sense of well-being by being around the animal, mm-hmm. Generally dogs.
Yeah.
So Sandra's coming to sort of really explore how pets can increase the well-being of our communities. And we're quite excited about that because we think it's something across the UK that many towns could be making a quick win with, really. If they could become pet-friendly towns, could be a real asset for the wider community, something that's more far-reaching, perhaps, and well-being in the workplace, which is very personal, it should be very bespoke and very personalised to that business. So that's what Sandra's talking about.
Fantastic.
And Christine is possibly our most, if I could say, senior speaker. She is a very, very experienced former nurse. She's been in the NHS for a very, very long time. And she's actually, she's a specialist in cardiac nursing, but she's also worked in midwifery, community and mental health. And she's just a font of knowledge. When she was talking last year, we do rate our speakers, so we put a survey out afterwards so that we know we're going in the right direction with the event. And Christine was our top speaker. Many people wouldn't have heard of her before they heard her on the day, but everybody who did hear her, absolutely, they were enthralled because she's so experienced. She's in her later years now, so she's now running a charity, a health charity. And I think she sees the world from a very, when I say lofty position, I don't think she, she certainly doesn't think she knows everything, but she's very well read, very experienced. So Christine will be a good speaker to come and hear.
Fantastic. And what's really interesting, what's really, really great is to hear the fact that your speakers are not covering one particular area. I've been to seminars and symposiums before, and it tends to follow one route. And as you mentioned, with Steve Brown and Lord Layard and Dr. Gant and Sandra, there's a great mix of skill sets there. So it's not it's not focusing just on physical well-being or mental well-being. There's a good mix of topics to discuss that all come together to form quite a pool of useful information.
I think you're obviously you're experienced in this arena, so it's great that you've been able to pick up on that. And actually, for any of the listeners, I think that's it. Actually, it isn't just one thing. It's about, and health and well-being isn't just about one thing.
No,
so
right.
If they attend on the day, they're going to get a really great mix of ingredients that will perhaps inform them better. And it reminds me, I was listening to the radio on Saturday, and they had one of the BBC doctors, I can't remember his name, he's on one of the BBC programmes, and he gave a great case study of a lady who really wasn't very well. She had lots of physical things that were wrong with her. She knew she wasn't mentally very well. And he prescribed taking 15 minutes a day for herself, putting her phone down, little bit of gentle exercise. She was doing all the right things with her diet. She knew all about what to eat and what not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And over a number of weeks, she followed his advice. She put the phone down. She took 15 minutes a day. And she just went for a daily walk. And by the end of that process, not only did she feel better mentally, her blood cholesterol had gone down unbelievably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Her blood pressure had gone down, perhaps not so surprisingly. And I think on the day, that's what we're trying to do, is to say to people, it's not just one thing. Health and well-being is quite a complex thing to think about.
Mm.
And come and listen to those people who, even if you just walk away with a couple of nuggets from the day, that's what it's all about. And listening to other people as well is really important.
Brilliant. I agree completely. So I mentioned at the start that the symposium had been going since 2012. What was the inspiration behind the symposium?
We had worked with Wellbeing People for a number of years. Their managing director, Ben McGannum, and I got talking one day about how we keep our staff healthy, how essential staff are to the business. And neither of us are saying we're perfect. I think, as I said, well-being is a really complex field, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben and I, just, it was really one of those sort of, conversations down a pub, really. What could we do to perhaps, we recognise that health and well-being of our staff isn't just the responsibility of GPs. It's not just the responsibility of our public authorities, wherever we may live. They have a big responsibility, but we could also help. And that was really the impetus. And it grew from there, really. First 3 years, we really weren't sure whether we could make a success of it. We're in year seven. And wow. We think that we have something that has got legs on. Because I think, as we both said at the start of the programme, health and well-being is fundamental to whether you're just a person, whether you're just, you know, whether you are an individual, whether you're a businessman or woman, whether you're a public authority. It is fundamental to us.
I agree. So you mentioned about taking away a few nuggets of information, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to go there and not take away something that will improve your health. But how will the event help people generally to improve their well-being? What will be going on during the symposium?
So it's a really good mix of elements. So there's the key speakers, so we've talked about those. Across the day there are workshops, so people can choose from 6 workshops, and some of our sponsors will be delivering those. So we're very fortunate that we have Golding Homes as one of our sponsors. They're a provider of homes. Mm-hmm. So whether it's homes social housing or homes for outright sale or affordable, they will be talking about some of the case studies that they've been doing in the community. So people can go and listen to that. A lot of our other, so some of our key speakers will also be delivering very focused, bespoke case study sessions as well. Mm-hmm. We've got a marketplace where we are going to have people. So we're going to have one new there on the day.
Okay.
So they're going to be delivering. I think that's really important, actually. What the one new campaign at the moment, Kent County Council are delivering one new into Kent businesses. So between now and the end of March, they're trying to reach as many businesses as they can across the county and offer those health checks that we've both spoken about today, which yeah. can make a fundamental difference to employees. Because when do they get the time to check their health? They don't, do they?
No.
You know, they are not able to just take an hour out of the workplace often to have their cholesterol tested, or to have a flu jab, or to have their weight, you know, taken. So one, you will be there on the day. I think that's going to add a really great element to any businesses thinking about coming along, and they can see the benefit that the One You campaign might make to coming into their businesses. So that's really how it will break down. There's going to be lots of just listening to people, mm-hmm. lots of them going into breakout sessions where they can listen and then dialogue at the end of it, and then networking,
yep.
and then the marketplace.
Fantastic.
Really great. Sort of
sounds like it's going to be a really, really good day, actually.
It is. It's great fun.
So as I mentioned, the symposium is at the Ashford International Hotel on the 21st of February. What time does it start?
We start at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And then it goes through to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Some people stay around after that.
Yep.
So there's people that just want to stay and really sort of make a day of it and perhaps talk more to the people that they met on the day. Don't mm-hmm. forget, you know, most of these people don't know each other at the start of the day. But the one thing that I've learned is by the end of it, there are new partnerships forged.
Excellent. So if people want to come along, how do they book? Where do they buy tickets from?
The best place to look is on the website,
okay.
which is thewellbeingsymposium.co.uk. So nice and easy. I would suggest that people just have a look at the social media stream. So that's @wellbeing_2018. And we've got a growing LinkedIn page, which we'll develop across the next couple of years. But that's the Wellbeing Symposium.
Fantastic. So just to reiterate, the website is www.thewellbeingsymposium.co.uk, and it's @wellbeing_2018 on Twitter. I'd like to thank you, Miranda. It's amazing how quickly time flies, but we are out of time now, unfortunately.
Thank you.
I'd love to discuss it more, but I'm sure people will contact you via the website or via your Twitter feed, and they'll be in touch. And I look forward to seeing you there as well. I'm going to come along. So thank you again for coming along. It's been great to have you on the show this morning.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Just a bit of housekeeping. Before we wrap up the show, I'd like to thank Miranda for coming along. Just to remind you, my website address is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. You can find the show on Twitter at Health Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and previous shows on my website if you click on the media page. The next show is live on Monday at 11 o'clock, so it would be great to have you listening then. And in the meantime, if you'd like to tweet in to say hi, to ask me a question, or just for a shout-out, you can contact me via the Twitter feed. So continuing the theme of 1983, we've had Katrina and the Waves this morning, and we've had Irene Cara and Flashdance. Rather than play you out with my normal theme tune, which is Beautiful Day by U2, I'm going to play you out with a classic from Prince. And again, I can't believe this was 35 years ago, but this is arguably one of his best songs. It's Little Red Corvette. And thank you for listening. And please do contact me in the meantime for next week's show, just to say hi or for a shout out. But until next week, I hope you stay well. I will catch you next week.
I guess I should know by the way you popped your car sideways at a wooden mast. You're the kind of person and making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb, she had a pocket full of horses, children and some of them used. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? And honey, I say, little red Corvette, baby, you're much too fast. Saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. Wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night. I guess that makes it alright. You say, baby, I ain't got enough gas. Oh yeah, little red Corvette. Baby, your mind's too fast. Yes, you are. Try to tame your little red love machine.